Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Wine Cellar. I am your host this evening, Phoenix Kalita, and I will be doing a white-on-white crime episode, because it's Wednesday, and that's just what the fuck we do here. Alright, William, unfortunately, is stuck at work, so it's just going to be me. But I've got some funny stories. I think I might be able to sufficiently hold your attention and entertain you for about an hour, roughly. Naturally, because Florida exists. It hasn't broken away and left us yet. I have a Florida story. I have a story about white tears, more white tears, angry white tears, some cop tears, motorist tears, a follow-up to a previous white-on-white crime episode, a story about blackface, a story about a sex party, and some really bad sex advice if I have the time to get to it. For folks who are new to the Wine Cellar, I noticed we had a bit of a bump in stats. White-on-White Wednesday is kind of a day where we have lighthearted stories about white people doing some ridiculous-ass bullshit, which I think that in this current political climate, in this current regime that we live under, in this current economic climate, this current social climate, it's good to be able to have a laugh, right? That is the point of this show. So, I mean, if you're offended, don't fucking at me. I mean, or fucking at me, and you will be the next episode of A White on White Wednesday. So, enjoy that. You can always find me on Twitters at @UppityNegress. Two P's, two T's, two S's. @UppityNegress. In the meantime, I think I'm going to play the show opener, and then we are going to get to some white people being really fucking ridiculous because it amuses me. And thanks for hanging out with us in the Wine Cellar.
Father Teresa doesn't like puppies.
You are listening to White on White Crime in the Wine Cellar.
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give.
What happened? They made you afraid.
Yeah.
Why are people not speaking out on things now?
They're afraid.
You're afraid. Why don't you say things anymore? Because you might be called a nasty name. You might be destroyed. They're making you afraid. Do you know how the first thing that the goon squads that Hitler had out, you know how he grabbed control of Germany? Now, thank God we're not here, but it's happening to us mentally. If you would go to a crowd and you were there and Hitler was speaking out, if you booed, the brown shirts would surround you and beat you within an inch of your life. It then spread. They would just march down the center of the street. They had nothing. It would be like if, you know, some militia here in town just decided to march down. It would be like if the Black Panthers decided to march down the side of the street. They would do it in crowded times during the day. And they would just march down the side of the street. And then they would do the Hitler salute. If you didn't do the Hitler salute back as you were on the side of the street, they would stop, they would surround you, and they would beat you and put you into a hospital. Everybody was afraid. No one would swear out a warrant against them because they would find you and beat you to death. That's how they did it. Well, that's happening to us mentally now. Every time you speak out, every time you don't comply, God forbid you say something about Caitlyn Jenner like Clint Eastwood, they'll hammer the snot out of you. They'll destroy your job. They'll destroy you socially. They'll make your name the worst bigoted name out there. You cannot be afraid. If you're afraid now, you wait. You stay silent much longer, and it will get much, much worse.
You are listening to White on White Crime in the Wine Cellar. Dear God, somebody hand me a glass.
Father Teresa is drunk.
I think that President Obama, by really waging war, in my view, on the cops, he's been waging war on law enforcement now for virtually all of his tenure as president. immediately accusing cops of being racist, accusing blacks of being victims, regardless of what kind of behavior they may have engaged in. And what this does then is it shortens the fuse for people who feel that their president...
Oh, no. I had to stop that because apparently there was some weird overlap going on. That's unfortunate. That was supposed to be ending with our Brian Fisher clip and then going to the trigger warning. And, yeah, I got to look at that and maybe read... Well, not me, William. He's the audio guy. He's going to have to redo that. sorry about that. However, I will give you a brief abbreviated trigger warning here. So we tend to oftentimes get into topics that involve LGBTQIA antagonism, misogyny, misogynoir, racism, classism, ableism, pretty much anything that might be possibly upsetting in any sort of social justice type environment, leftist type environment that we talk about, you know, economics, race, gender, you know, anything oppressive happening to people, we address that on this show. Although I think this is going to be a relatively lighthearted episode. So, you know, but nonetheless, we do like to throw that trigger warning in just so folks know what they're getting into. And if you are new, that clip, the second person who was speaking was Brian Fisher, who is hilarious to us because he is a proponent of, what does he call it? Masculine Christianity. And he insists for some reason that Nazis are all gay and that the 300, you know, from the Spartans movie, the 300 Spartans were actually hyper masculine homosexuals. He thinks about genitals a lot. It's kind of fucking weird. And then the first one was a clip. I don't know who was speaking, but I find that to be a bit ironic that he's complaining that the left is treating Christians the way Nazis treated people, because I have a few stories today that run exactly opposite of his claim, but we'll see what happens. Make your own decision. All right, so let's get it started. I think I am going to start with, Florida. Florida is always a good fucking place to start. I love Florida. I also love News 4 Jax. It's a Jacksonville local station. I find so many great fucking stories there for White on White Wednesdays. All right, so in Florida, apparently, a Florida woman. See, they made the headline too serious, but I would have made it like a joke headline. Like, Florida woman has amazing trick to avoid having to pay for meals in restaurants. You know, some clickbait shit. So yeah, she has this amazing trick so she doesn't have to pay for meals. Or does she? Caitlin Murphy of Stewart, Florida. All right, there's a city called Stewart, which is apparently near Delray Beach. I don't know, maybe that means something to y'all. I don't do Florida geography. So... Caitlin Murphy was arrested in Stewart, Florida, after being accused of putting shards of glass in her food to get out of paying for meals. Okay, that seems a little bit unsafe, Caitlin. Murphy, who is 31 years old, was arrested Tuesday by Stewart police, and she currently faces a charge of a scheme to defraud. Police said that Murphy had visited 10 restaurants in Stewart from September 15th through September 26th and complained of finding glass in her food after eating most of her meals. Wow, really? 10 times? Okay. All right. According to the arrest affidavit, Murphy confessed to police that she carried glass in her purse and would intentionally put the pieces of glass in her meals, purposely cutting her mouth. Holy fuck, dude. It is not that serious. Just stay home and have some ramen or macaroni and cheese or, I don't know, fucking get McDonald's or something. I can't... I'm, like, curious now, right? This always happens to me. You read this fucking outlandish-ass shit, and then after my moment of shock, I get, like, invested in it. Like, I am now curious and invested in this story. So she keeps glass in her purse, puts it in her food, cuts her mouth intentionally so she doesn't have to pay. But she's never gotten, like, a fucking infection from that shit? Like, does she have fucking sanitized glass that she keeps in, I don't know, like individually wrapped baggies or something to use? I mean, aside from the fact that I just wouldn't do this because it seems really fucking sleazy, but more so than that, I can't imagine fucking cutting your mouth on purpose with glass out of your purse. Like, between the plate and the food itself, and then, you know, is everything on the table clean, right? Because there's the fucking, the glass and the silverware and maybe napkins, and, you know, you don't know how well they wiped the table off before you sat down. And then, you know, so all that's already going in your mouth, and then you're going to cut your mouth with some shit that came out of your purse. Like, maybe her purse is fucking clean. My purse, at the bottom of it, is not clean. It's very dirty. There's fucking, like, lint in, I don't know, like, eyelash, an eyelash, maybe some of my hair, you know, maybe, I don't know, some fucking makeup bag, like, my face powder's cracked. I've got powder in the fucking bottom of it. I don't know. But apparently, she cuts her mouth and I guess isn't sick somehow. I mean, maybe my immune system is just pure shit, yo. Maybe that's the fucking problem here. All right. So she confessed to police that she carries the glass in her purse and would intentionally put the shards in her meals, purposely cutting her mouth. And many of the restaurants wound up paying for the meals or offering her gift cards and free food to make up for the incidents. Police said that Murphy told them she got the idea from someone she knew in rehab. Okay. Now, I would be curious to know with this story. So, she did it 10 times over a course of almost 2 weeks and didn't get sick, cut up her mouth. But then, like, how did they catch her? Like, was she on camera somewhere, like, fucking taking glass out of her purse and just putting it in her food and eating it? I don't know, ma'am. I think there's better ways to maybe get a free meal. I'm not sure that I would necessarily do this. I don't know. I don't think I could do it. I'm not as hardcore as Ms. Murphy is, I think. I think that might be the problem.
You are listening to White on White Crime in the Wine Cellar. Dear God, somebody hand me a glass.
Ha, and not a glass so you can break it and put it in food, just a glass in general. All right. What else do we have here? I have a story about Papa John, who has kind of been on my shit list for quite a few years, right? Because if y'all remember, when they passed the ACA Obamacare, he was like, I'm going to stop giving my workers full-time hours because I don't want them to have health insurance. And meanwhile, he lives in like a fucking mansion that has a moat around it and shit. Like, he fucking thinks he's some feudal lord, right? Like, he goes by Papa John, but he really thinks he's King John. A fucking asshole. So Papa John is upset because, you know, why not? Millionaires, billionaires get upset about shit. He is now blaming leadership of the NFL and saying that that is affecting his business sales. Who knew? All right. So, Papa John Schnatter. His last name is Schnatter? That is a terrible last name. All right, Mr. Schnatter, founder and CEO of Papa John's Pizza, took aim at NFL executives Wednesday amid declining sales and consistent national anthem protests during games. The NFL has hurt us, Schnatter said in a conference call. Who the fuck is us, nigga? I ain't got your money. You don't even want to give your employees health insurance. I can't imagine that you're out here paying them. Well, who the fuck is us who is being hurt? Are you talking to the fucking crocodiles in your moat? Like, what the fuck are you doing? All right, so Schnatter says, the NFL has hurt us. We are disappointed in the NFL and its leadership that they did not resolve this. Leadership starts at the top, and this is an example of poor leadership. Is underpaying employees and denying them health insurance also an example of poor leadership, or is that good leadership? Or does it just depend on who the leader is? Is that how we're determining it? I don't know, sir. All right. What is this? They have a link right in the middle to a whole other story. I'm not doing that one right now. All right. So, stock in the Louisville-based company has plummeted Wednesday, dropping 6 points. This should have been nipped in the bud a year and a half ago, Schnatter said on the conference call. Like many sponsors, we're in touch with the NFL. Once the issue is resolved, we're optimistic the NFL's best years are ahead. Okay. All right. A spokesman for Papa John's did not immediately respond to a request for comment in the wake of former San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick's decision to protest by kneeling during the anthem before the start of NFL games. President Donald J. Trump has harshly condemned players for taking a knee and even encouraged Americans to boycott the NFL. Wait, so how come they're mad at Mr. Schnatter is mad at the fucking NFL? Shouldn't he be mad at Trump since Trump is the one who's like, boycott the NFL? Because, you know, that's what the tangerine terrorist does. Sports fans should never condone players that do not stand for their anthem, Trump tweeted. NFL should change the policy. Kofifi. Amid Trump's protests of the NFL, Schnatter hasn't publicly condemned the president for slamming his company's business partner. A large donor to Republican candidates, Schnatter... I don't like saying his name. It sounds like you're cursing in a foreign language. It sounds like that should be a curse word in German. Damn, Schnatters. So Schnatter is a large donor to Republican candidates. He gave $1,000 in July of 2016 to the Trump Victory Committee, according to an FEC filing. Papa John's has been a longtime sponsor of the NFL, and Schnatter previously said he enjoyed the league's sponsorship. I'm sure you fucking do. For 30 years, Papa John's has strived to deliver better ingredients and better pizza from underpaid staff. Wait, that part's not in there. I added that part. The staff is underpaid, though. So, Papa John's has strived to deliver better ingredients and better pizza. Quality is our legacy, and it extends from the kitchen to the gridiron. The NFL has been a great partner for many years, and Papa John's continues to be the pizza of choice among avid NFL fans, said Schnatter in a 2016 statement. So here's the thing, though. If your product was amazing, which it isn't, I've had Papa John's pizza. It's not all that. Beggar's Pizza's better. Luminati's is better. You know, fucking Gino's is better. Arguably, even Rosati's is better. But you know, hey. So here's the thing, though. If your product was amazing and wonderful and fantastic, people would still be ordering it. Because people don't stop fucking eating because they're not watching an NFL game. They're just doing something else with their time, but they're still gonna eat. So if your product was legit, they'd still be fucking getting it. So maybe the problem is you, nigga. Maybe it's not the NFL. Maybe it's not the protests. Maybe it's that your product isn't amazing and wonderful. Because... what do we do? So what, people who are boycotting on Sunday, they what, hang around and do chores around the house and shit? It's still their day off. It's still like their, the lazy day or the chill day or the relaxed day. So they're still going to eat and probably eat junk food, eat something quick, easy, you know, something frozen, carry out, take out. So this isn't an NFL problem. This is a you problem. But nice try trying to blame the NFL for that shit. People will literally blame anything on a bunch of niggas who don't do what they're told. Everything is somehow the fault of black people who are not compliant with white supremacy. It is wild as shit to me. I can't imagine. I can't imagine a world where black people can just live and not have to be blamed for everything that goes wrong. How fucking amazing would that be? I'm here for it. I'm here for it. Definitely here for it.
You are listening to White on White Crime in the Wine Cellar.
All right. What else do I have? Oh my gosh. I have so many stories of white tears. I don't even know where to fucking start with shit, honestly. All right. So, I think this might be the whitest of the white tears that I have. And it's funny because I posted this on Reading in the Shade, which if you're on Facebook, check out the Reading in the Shade page. News, comment, updates, some occasional personal journal things, think pieces, just all kinds of stuff. That's my page. And it's funny because a bunch of people unfriended the page unfollowed the page after I put this up. Because it's about Starbucks, and people take Starbucks very fucking seriously in this country. I don't know if y'all knew that. So, I feel like there's a sneeze that needs to come out of my face, but it's not actually coming out of my face. I don't like that. I hate that feeling. It makes your eyes tear up. Like, this is some bullshit. Serious bullshit. All right, so no sneeze. No. Okay, no sneeze. All right, fine. All right. So people take their Starbucks very, very seriously. They get very, very angry about Starbucks. I think it's been 2 or 3 years in a row now. There has been a situation when it comes to the Starbucks holiday cups, right? Like, people got mad because last year they were plain, and people were mad the year before because it said, like, Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas or some shit. Y'all fucking sensitive as shit over cups. So this year, Starbucks listened to complaints, decided to do better, and has given the white snowflakes their own white snowflakes. So this year, Starbucks has opted for a predominantly white holiday cup. The coffee chain's latest holiday design lets customers color it in themselves. The cup this year features splashes of red and green among illustrations of presents, snowflakes, and a Christmas tree with a star on top. But the primarily black and white illustration is mainly blank, intended for customers to personalize. Seattle-based Starbucks Corporation says most of its U.S. stores will have colored pencils on hand for people to borrow. The company says the cups, which are typically red-themed, will be in stores today. A plainer 2015 cup spurred an outcry from critics that it lacked snowflakes. The irony of people who call everyone snowflakes as an insult were mad when snowflakes weren't present. Y'all fucking wild as shit. So the cup spurred, the 2015 cup spurred an outcry from critics upset it lacked snowflakes, reindeer, or specific symbols of Christmas. Because you know how reindeer specifically means Christmas. It's not just an animal that lives in cold weather. I mean, I know Santa and all, but reindeer do exist outside of Santa. Snowflakes exist outside of Christmas. It's just fucking snow. It's cold. Jesus. Even President Donald Trump, who was a candidate at the time, suggested boycotting the chain. Wow, that must be that Make America Great Freedom shit again. I will boycott anything I don't like. Okay. So, Starbucks gave in. They're going politically correct. I think we should maybe mock them. Just because, you know, you can't cater to the snowflakes. Don't give the snowflakes snowflakes. But that's what Starbucks is doing. We'll see. I'm going to give it about a week. So I guess we'll right back in time for next week's White on White Crime. We'll check back and see what the complaint is, because I'm sure the right wing is going to have something to whine about with these damn cups. All the shit going on and they mad about cups, but okay. So we'll see what their beef is. I'll be curious. I'm going to laugh at them, because I like laughing at people, because I'm kind of an asshole, really. I don't care, though. All right, moving on. Let's see. Ooh, there is this app. I have not heard of this app before. I'm going to check it out. It's called Nurx, I guess is how you say it. It's N-U-R-X. And it is an app that delivers the morning after pill or types of birth control to your door. So I think that's fucking awesome and amazing, right? Because sometimes you might not just want to go out and get your shit. Or maybe you live somewhere where it's difficult to get it. Because, you know, this is the... And see, I cannot help myself. I have to fucking tangent. I cannot fucking help myself. But, you know, this is that shit that the fucking conservatives are always like, well, it's only like $9 a month for birth control. Just go get it. And, like, clearly this is somebody who has never actually had to purchase birth control, right? This is somebody who doesn't live in a town where their pharmacist won't hand out birth control because they have a strong religious and moral objection. Like, fuck y'all, though. You know, this is somebody who has insurance that covers birth control, so it's easy to get or easy to fill. And it's not like that for everybody. You know, there are places where a pharmacist denies birth control because of their fucking alleged religious objections. There are doctors who won't prescribe birth control unless a woman is married or has permission from, like, a father or a legal guardian or a husband. You know, there are people who just can't access shit because they're fucking rural and they live far from everything. You know, there's people who work 2 and 3 jobs and they can't take a day off to just go fuck around and sit in a doctor's office for 4 hours and get their shit. You know, so, I mean, there's a lot of reasons people can't access birth control. So I'm going to say right now, without knowing anything else about the app other than the fact that it delivers birth control to your doorstep, that's pretty fucking cool. But I am a radical leftist. I am a black identitarian. I'm a Negrotarian. Antifa-tarian. Can I be an Antifa-tarian? Oh, by the way, I got new boots. I'm ready for this November 4th, behead all the Christians or whatever the fuck they said we're going to do. I'm ready. I am ready. Ooh, I should cover that story too, see if I can find it. So this is what this app does. I'm here for it. But of course, right-wingers are mad. So far, NERX operates in 15 states offering females over the age of 12 access to the pill, the ring, Plan B, and Ella. Its aim is to, quote, break down obstacles to getting birth control. While the morning after pill is already available over-the-counter nationwide, out of pocket, women paying for it with insurance need to go to their doctor, which can be complicated in states which are pushing to limit contraception use. But although the drug designed to prevent a sperm fertilizing an egg after unprotected sex is already available over-the-counter, the concept of obtaining it by mail has enraged anti-contraception groups. Y'all fucking wild. Wow. Check me out with the words. Activists in North Carolina and Texas... Always in Texas, for example, are pushing lawmakers to create legislation that would hamstring the app, as they claim the morning after pill is akin to the abortion pill. Because you know how, preventing a sperm from fertilizing an egg is exactly the same thing as terminating a pregnancy that already exists when you already have a fertilized egg? I mean, right? So apparently in Texas, they think that preventing pregnancy is the same thing as being pregnant. That's kind of fucking weird when you think about it. Don't dwell too long, you're going to hurt your head. So they think it's akin to the abortion pill. NERX CEO Hans Gankasar, I just said that wrong, I'm sure, said there's a lot of misinformation about what pregnancy is. Oh, sweet Jesus, the fact that that sentence has to, it is 2017 and the sentence had to be said, there is misinformation about what pregnancy is. What a time to be alive. Oh my fucking God. All right.
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give.
So there's a lot of misinformation about what pregnancy is. If you're actually pregnant, Plan B isn't going to work. Right. So while the abortion pill RU486 aborts pregnancies after the egg is fertilized, the morning after pill prevents pregnancies, meaning the sperm does not fertilize the egg. This apparent confusion over how contraception works also cropped up in Trump's proposal for new rules on birth control, which would allow businesses to opt out of covering the medication on insurance for employees. Brooke Randall, a doctor with the Whole Women's Health in Texas who works for NERX, explained that there is a history of confusion dating back to when birth control was first approved. Now, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and guess that it's not actually confusion. It's intentional misinformation of the populace in order to push certain forced birth agendas. Yeah, I don't say fucking pro-life. I say forced birth because they don't care about the welfare of the pregnant person or the welfare of the child. They just want to make sure that you are being punished for engaging in any sort of sex act and have to go through labor as punishment. And I would remind people that is a biblically originating theory, idea that labor, pregnancy is supposed to hurt women because it is a punishment for original sin. So yeah, they're not fucking pro-life. They're not, I won't even say pro-fetus because, you know, they still don't care about, you know, they won't provide prenatal care. So obviously they don't care about the fetus. They're not pro-women. They're not pro-labor. They're not pro-pregnancy. They are forced labor. So fuck that pro-life shit. Call them what they really are. Like, fuck the soft language. Stop doing it. All right. So according to Randall, the doctor, they say, in the 1960s, when birth control pills first came out, there was some confusion about how they worked, and when it was first approved by the FDA, regulators hedged themselves by saying nobody understands precisely how drugs work. Not long after, it became clear that we do know how these drugs work, but conservative groups who are opposed to even condoms have used that phrasing to defend their views. They also insist that the app has more screening measures than pharmacies, with users obliged to answer medical questions before receiving personal follow-up consultations with one of the app's medical officers. But activists are unconvinced by both arguments. No, they're not unconvinced. They don't give a fuck because they want to punish people and force them to go into labor and give birth. They aren't unconvinced. They don't care. They're fucking sadistic and they're getting off on this. So these activists continue to rally against NERCs. John Sego, a man, legislative director for Texas Right to Life, and Susan Klein, internalized misogyny alert, executive director for the Missouri Right to Life, both told Stat News their organization views the morning after pill as an equivalent of the abortion pill, despite being classed as a contraceptive. So, like, do you understand how fucking ridiculous and out there is? We have the science to prove this thing, but we're choosing to ignore that and say that's not what the thing actually is. Okay. While their argument is not scientifically supported, they are causing a stir ahead of the legislative sessions next year. Other activists point to the fact the service does not have an age limit. What? They said 14 and over. That is an age limit. Ugh. But yeah, so that's fucking white tears. White people gotta be so fucking sensitive. And I know that this is predominantly white people who are doing this shit. And it's barbaric. It really is. So enjoy that. That's fucking happening. Yay. Go forced, team forced birth. And stuff.
This show is fucked up.
I think I played that one already, right? I think I might have. Oh well. Ha! All right, let me find something actually legitimately funny, if I could. And I think this was an Ohio story, maybe? Because, you know, they're fucking wild in Ohio. Where did it go? Here we go. Yes, Ohio. A 10-year-old boy did not spend his Thursday morning in school or at home playing video games. Instead, I like whoever wrote this. They have a sense of humor. Instead, he led highway patrol officers on a high-speed car chase, reaching speeds of almost 100 miles an hour. Holy shit, dude. Nigga, I'd be scared when I'm, like, going 55. He was doing 100? The joyride, which lasted just under an hour, was the boy's second in 2 weeks, according to Cleveland Police. Oh, my God. This is what the fuck this kid does? Holy shit. All right, apparently he just takes the car and goes on joyrides. All right. A man dialed 911 after he saw a 2004 Toyota Avalon swerving across Interstate 80 West. Westlake police officers spotted a speeding car being chased by another vehicle, possibly driven by the boy's mother. So wait, he stole a car, his mama in another car trying to get him to pull over. Either this kid is gonna grow up to be, like, the world's best NASCAR driver ever, or he's gonna do a fucking school shooting with his complete disregard for authority and rules. I don't know yet. Three Westlake officers followed the boy for more than 15 miles, with speeds reaching 100 miles per hour, before he drove through a toll booth and entered the Ohio Turnpike. Holy shit! He got on the fucking expressway?! Damn. All right, that's when at least four Ohio highway police... Oh, all right. So he went from cops in his town to actual Ohio highway patrol troopers joining the chase and attempting a rolling roadblock as the boy drove erratically along the turnpike with the troopers behind him for almost 20 miles. He was on the expressway for 20 fucking miles. And I would also point out, too, like... That's how you know the fuck he was white, though, right? Like, 20 miles on the expressway? 15 miles on the streets of his town, and what, eight cops with him, around him, trying to put up roadblocks and stop him and shit, but nobody died. Okay. Taken in alive. All right. Let's see. The boy eventually slowed down and drove, what the fuck is a berm? Does anybody know what a berm is? Somebody tell me. I don't know. I wonder if that's like a shoulder. So the boy eventually slowed down and drove onto a berm to avoid driving over stop sticks. One trooper then nudged the boy's car at a slow speed into a mile post sign. They knocked him into a sign. And another state vehicle was blocked the boy's car, preventing him from re-entering the road. It's very lucky no one was hurt, said Highway Patrolman Sergeant Tim Hoffman. When the child was taken into custody, he attempted to spit in the troopers' faces and kicked one of them. Who the fuck is this kid? Alright, so they had to run him into a sign, box him in, they take him into custody, he starts spitting at niggas, and kicked one of them in the face. The boy was taken to a hospital by a legal guardian and will be placed in custody of the Erie County Children's Services before being evaluated. It's fucking Ohio Highway, and I don't know why I can't fucking say that. Ohio Highway Patrol said it will confer with Erie County Prosecutor's Office about criminal charges. The boy said he decided to take the family car out because he was bored. All right, that's how y'all fucking get down in Ohio and shit. Okay. That's kind of fucking wild. All right. Okay. So, 100 miles an hour for 20 miles and then kicked a cop in the face.
Father Teresa's wine cellar is rated R for keeping it real.
All right, so let's go. We have one motorist to another, if we may. Except this one's in Canada. But, you know, I thought all Canadians did was hang out and make maple syrup and talk about moose. Apparently, they are also fans of a certain group that I like. You may have heard of them, CNC Music Factory. Yeah. Let's see. Here we go. If it's a crime to sing in the car, who amongst us is not guilty? I see you. I see y'all framing this for him. I see you. Holy shit, that's a name. Taufik Mowala. Maybe. A 38-year-old father of two told the Montreal Gazette he was driving to the grocery store when he popped a CD into his car stereo. His jam of choice for this watered bottle run? Whoever writes for the Montreal Gazette has a sense of humor. His jam of choice? CNC Music Factory's 1990 hit, Gonna Make You Sweat. Everybody dance now. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, y'all know that fucking shit. He sang along, obviously. Suddenly, he says he heard the wail of a siren behind him. I was thinking they wanted to pass, but they called on the speaker, please go to the right side. I stopped and four police, two on each side, came and checked the inside of the car. This is what happens when you sing in your car in Canada. You get four cops to assist you, as it were. Oh, man. All right. They asked me if I screamed. I said, no, I was just singing. The police checked. Oh, man, who the fuck is calling me in the middle of a podcast? I can't answer that right now. They asked me if I screamed. I said no, I was just singing. The police checked his license and registration and then gave Moala a $149 ticket. Shit. Which is $118 in the U.S., by the way. For the offense of screaming in public. Okay. Montreal's police website says the city's noise bylaws vary by borough, but in general, noise resulting from cries, clamors, singing, altercations, or cursing, or any other form of uproar is among the categories of prohibited noise. What the fuck is wrong with y'all? Y'all niggas gotta learn to live a little bit. Singing, cursing, cries, clamors, any form of uproar? Okay. Moala told CTV he wasn't singing especially loud, just as loud as you would sing if you were, quote, happy and you like the song. Who doesn't fucking like the song? Everybody likes the song. I don't know if my voice was very bad and that's why I got the ticket, but I was shocked, Moala told the television network. I understand that they're doing their job. They're allowed to check if everything's okay, if I kidnap someone or there's danger inside, but I would never expect they would give me a ticket for singing. Moala says he is contesting the ticket. And the article finishes off with a question for Montreal police. How do you not sing along to that song? Yeah, everyone fucking sings to that song. I call absolute bullshit on them for that. Like, that was some bullshit. Let a nigga sing. That's the jam, man. Come on now. Come on. Everybody sings to that. All right. So that is our Canadian motorist. Ooh, and then one more police story. Police affiliate. Police associated? I don't know. A story that involves police. Something to do with police. Which is actually an update. I don't remember when we covered it, but it was a little bit ago, and it was about a guy who, what the fuck did I put my story? Who stole my story? Damn, somebody stole my story. So it was about a guy who, had a warrant out, right? And so police were looking for him, and for whatever fucking reason, he decided to harass them on their Facebook page. I don't really know why he felt like that was a good idea. But yeah, he was on their Facebook page, like, just talking shit and whatnot. And then he ultimately said, if you can make a post and it gets 1,000 shares, then I will turn myself in and bring donuts. So of course they did. And of course he didn't actually turn himself in initially. However, 10 days after he made the social media pledge, which also includes promises to clean up public school property and bring the cops donuts, he did so. Michael Martin Zadel, age 21, has turned himself in to the Redford Township Police for several outstanding misdemeanor warrants late Monday. He walked in on his own, and not only did he bring donuts, he brought a bagel. Only one bagel, nigga? Who was that for? Was that for you? You thought that was gonna let you eat your bagel? We would like again to express our gratitude for the support of all who followed this, shared it, and left us positive feedback, the department wrote on its Facebook page. I can't fucking believe this shit. He really fucking did that. So Zadel, who uses the alias Champagne Torino... What the fuck kind of name is Champagne Torino, for real though? That is a horrible fucking name. He issued his challenge to the department on October 6th, and officers eagerly accepted, saying he promised us donuts. You know how much we love donuts. Y'all niggas ain't cute for that shit either. Like, y'all really not cute. So the post was then shared more than 4,000 times and racked up more than 400 comments. In a separate post, Sergeant Dwayne Gregg and Officer Jennifer Mansfield explained their reasoning behind the challenge, saying it was fun and educational at the same time. Yeah, I'm sure you thought it was fun because you knew someone was going to come in and you could arrest them. But how the fuck is this educational to anybody? Yeah, police will fucking stalk you over social media. Everybody knows that. This isn't educational. The officer said, the support we got from the community is amazing. Mr. Torino gave us a challenge. The challenge was accepted. He may or may not be a man of his word, but it is our experience. Everyone gets caught at some point. Apparently, they don't have a fucking cold case unit. Only fucking department in the entire goddamn country that doesn't have a cold case unit. Who fucking knew, nigga? He's drawn a lot of attention to himself, and that makes it hard to hide. The important thing is the important thing to be seen here is the support of the community and the desire to help. They only wanted to help because he's a fucking douchebag. Champagne Torino? Really? Internet gangsta Champagne Torino? So Zeidel was jailed overnight and is expected to appear at a hearing next Tuesday in the 17th District Court. It is not immediately clear what charges he is facing or what all of his warrants are for. Okay, so that's an update. That was a fun story when it happened, though. The update is not as fun. Like, yeah, you came in and you gave the cops donuts and you got arrested. Like, that's not really... I feel like you are maybe not making the best life choices. Well, I mean, obviously, you are a fan of not making life choices. That's why you have multiple warrants out for bullshit. But, nonetheless, I feel like this is a downgrade. Maybe a side grade, Mr. Champagne Torino. Turning yourself in? Nah. That's not really where it's at, though. That's not where it's at. No. Oh, shit, I'm dropping things. All right. So, what else do I have? Ooh, I think maybe I just have time for the sex party and then the blackface. Yeah, I think so. All right. Let's do this. Okay. This is a UK story, by the way, which I think makes it more fun to me, right? Because it is UK and there's like the reputation or the stereotype that British people are particularly like fucking proper and kind of like rigid about things, you know? So that makes this story like even funnier to me. It's also funny to me that it was listed under the men's health section. So here's the headline. I don't know if y'all ready. A giant kinky sex party took place in the woods and the residents are furious. All right. The town of Tunbridge Wells. Tunbridge Wells sounds so proper. That's not somewhere you could just have a big raunchy sex party in the woods. Oh my God. This shit makes me laugh. Like for real. Tunbridge Wells. All right. So, the town of Tunbridge Wells, United Kingdom, was previously best known for being a middle-class tourist destination, as well as the birthplace of novelist William Makepeace Thackeray. His middle name was Makepeace? Seriously? Y'all need to work on your... I do not ever want to hear white people talking shit about Shaniqua or Shenanda or anything. Tyrell, Tyrone, Daquan. Fuck it. Makepeace. His middle name is Makepeace. Y'all play too much. All right. So, yeah. So, let's see. Tunbridge Wells, United Kingdom. Quiet middle-class tourist destination. Birthplace of famous novelists. But earlier this week, the town made headlines for its vociferous opposition to Flame Fest, a three-day kink sex party held in the neighboring town that featured luxury boutique tents, an outdoor S&M dungeon, and what the website described as an adult play area that likely bears little resemblance to a McDonald's play place. That's another thing I love about these fucking stories from the UK. They have that fucking snark written the fuck in. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm sure who wrote this. E.J. Dixon. Okay, Mr. Ms. Senor, Senora Mix Dixon. It does not look like a McDonald's play place, I'm sure. Held in the neighboring Brokes Woods. Who hangs out in Brokes Woods? Near Kent over the weekend, Flame Fest, not to be confused with the Fire Fest, a disastrous Ja Ruled sponsored music festival that took place earlier this year. Flame Fest purported to be a high-end sex party for kinksters and swingers, offering numerous workshops. What the fuck? Apparently including one in called Getting Sexy with Snakes. I don't know what that is, and I don't think I want to know what that, because, oh man, all right, okay, getting sexy with snakes, that's what they're doing in the woods in Kent, okay. Flamefest described the site as a, quote, mystical site where witches' covens have been meeting for centuries. Wait, so they wanted to have a sex party during a coven gathering? Like, were they just trying to see some girl-on-girl action? Like, what's really good? Come on. All right. Yet the denizens of the neighboring town were predictably furious, railing against the festival for propagating offensive moral values. "I'm no prude, but this is the wrong place for this sort of thing," local councillor Diane Hill told the local paper. "It's a residential area. People are obviously going to be concerned about the noise." Well, yes, between the snakes, the witches, the coven, the outdoor non-McDonald's looking play place, and the BDSM dungeon, I can imagine that there is a very wide, vast array of different noises that are going to be happening. All right. Let's see. Diane Hill also questioned where the swingers and other attendees would be parking. Another town resident griped the orgy would create hell on the roads because apparently British people are disproportionately obsessed with six-party motorist etiquette. That's actually really fascinating, though, that it's not because a bunch of strangers are coming to have a wild sex party in your backyard. You're like, but the traffic, though. Priorities. Priorities. Orgy-related traffic or no orgy-related traffic, FlameFest organizer Helen Smedley, all right, reiterated that the event took place between consenting individuals in the privacy of their own luxury tents, so neighbors have no reason to be concerned. "There's nothing that happens in view on site. People go off in their tents to meet like-minded people," she told Kent Live. An arguably worse offense? Tickets for the sex party cost a whopping £385, which is an awful lot of money to get mosquito bites on your butt from having sex on an oak tree stump with a lady in a goat mask. That sounds oddly specific, my friend. Have you, whoever wrote this, Dixon, actually gotten mosquito bites on your butt from having sex on an oak tree stump with a lady in a goat mask? That's incredibly specific. I don't know. I have questions. I have all the questions. Oh my goodness. All right. The comment section is also awesome. And then the whole lot of them spread STDs and the government is paying for it. Okay. Uh-huh. This goes on all the time in La La Land and no one says a thing. This sounds like a prospective movie plot for Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill. Liberals have no decency. Brexit and the destruction of Hillary has them foaming at the mouth. Yes, because BDSM didn't happen until Brexit. Obviously, everyone knows that. Obviously. Liberals have no decency. These lost souls will pass away someday without ever experiencing the joy of commitment. Okay. Man is returning to the caves from whence he came. All right, I'm rabbit holing here. These comments are fucking funny to me. All right, let me do a time check. I need to do another decibel check. That's just something I fucking do now. Like, check me out. All right, I can do the blackface. I know people are like, why the fuck are you doing blackface on a white on white crime? And that's because I am amused with the way that people are turning this into white tears, as white folks tend to do when it comes to racism. So, let me see if I can find the story. This was a Florida story, of course. See, we started in Florida, we ended in Florida. We have come full circle, my friends. We have come full circle. So, of course, because we just finished Halloween, someone always fucking wears blackface on Halloween. It's like a weird white tradition now. I guess that's part of white culture at this point. Someone always wears blackface. And let's see. Of course, this is, I think, near Jacksonville. St. Augustine? All right. So, a woman who works at a bakery, and the name of the bakery is, does it say, The Bunnery Bakery. So the Bunnery Bakery, she decided to dress up as Aunt Jemima. Now, as if this wasn't already a racially charged character, and as if, you know, the typical depictions of a black mammy serving white folks didn't already have a certain connotation, didn't already exist. She decided to add to it by not only dressing as Aunt Jemima, she also opted to wear blackface with it so people really understood. Right. And of course, now she's complaining that she's being attacked. It's not fair. A restaurant worker whose blackface costume sparked a protest in St. Augustine says she will not apologize. You do that, honey. The woman says she painted her face black as part of an Aunt Jemima costume she wore to the Bunnerian Bakery Cafe on Halloween. Students at Flagler College took offense to the costume and organized a protest outside the restaurant. An owner of the cafe on the St. George Street crowd spoke to the... An owner of the cafe on St. George Street spoke to a crowd outside the restaurant. She said the worker washed the makeup off after the... I am having a fucking time with my words today. She said the worker washed the makeup off her face after a confrontation with students at the bakery. She said that the employee did not mean to offend anyone. They never do. There's a quote from the black-faced costume-wearing individual. It was a genuine costume. I thought it was a brilliant idea. Color is not something that exists in my life. I come from a very colorful family, and I love all the same. I will not apologize for my costume. There is nothing wrong with my actions and the choice of my costume. I don't understand how this turned into a racial thing. Blackface is not something I expected with just trying to dress up for my job on Halloween. Instead of protesting something that is not affecting people directly, why don't we worry about real issues? Okay. Let's just pick that apart real quick. It was a genuine costume. Yes, it was a genuine costume. No one's disputing that. The problem is it was like a shitty racist-ass costume, too. Color is not something that exists in my life. Well, if you don't understand how color works, why the fuck did you paint your face black? I have questions. I come from a colorful family. Don't bring your mixed-race grandkids or whoever the fuck into this. I will not apologize for my costume. You fucking should. And there was nothing wrong with my actions. You wore blackface, ma'am. I don't understand how this turned into a racial thing. You wore blackface. Blackface is not something I expected, but you literally did it. How do you not expect it when you literally fucking did it? Instead of protesting something that doesn't affect people directly, right, because we are no longer bound by stereotypes of historical blackface. Black and white people are all post-racial, and white people don't think that we're stupid, in need of saviors, we need to be beaten or harshly punished, that we act like children, that we make good neighbors, partners, employees, and so on and so forth. Right, yeah, because the stereotypes ingrained into the white collective consciousness because of blackface performances are gone. Uh-huh. So yeah, it definitely doesn't directly affect us. Why don't we worry about real issues? Okay. I'm not sure what real issues are. I think racism is a real issue. I mean, I'm not sure. I could be wrong. In maybe like, you know, police brutality, Flint not having clean water, you know, black people being jumped, black people being lynched, these Unite the Right fucking KKK neo-Nazi rallies. I mean, those might be problems, but maybe not, I guess. Maybe. So that was the employee's response. And there's pictures of her. I can get them online. It's really fucking ridiculous as shit to me. Yeah, there's that. So, and then also, just because it always gets better, the Bunnery and Bakery Cafe released a statement on Facebook and spectacularly bombed. If y'all would just hire black people, y'all wouldn't... If y'all would hire black people and let them work, y'all wouldn't have these problems. All right. According to the Bunnery Bakery and Cafe, valued patrons, each year on Halloween, we encourage our employees to celebrate the day in costume. One of our bakers decided to dress up as a favorite baker for Halloween. She said she was thinking of the corporate Aunt Jemima and her pancakes. I don't know if y'all fucking know this, but pancakes are not baked in an oven. It's not a fucking pie. It's not a fucking loaf of bread. It's not a goddamn cake. Nigga, you don't bake pancakes. So no, already I call bullshit. Okay. So she said she thought of Aunt Jemima and her pancakes and didn't think any deeper. Perhaps she or any of us should have. Yes, the fuck you should have. After a customer was offended, our employee immediately cleaned off her makeup. We have offered a sincere apology and can only hope this situation will encourage personal growth and perspective for all of us. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yes, personal growth and perspective from the woman who said, I will not apologize. There is nothing wrong for what I did. I am allowed to do this. It's okay. I don't understand how this is a racial thing. I don't see color. Yeah, I'm sure that there's a lot of fucking personal growth and perspective happening here. Please know that we do not support racism or encourage separation of any races. Obviously, you don't encourage separation of races. You still want the nigger in the kitchen baking your pancakes for some fucking reason. Because y'all want baked fucking pancakes. What the fuck ever. So yeah, we get it. You don't want separation of races. You want your maids and your field Negroes and, you know, niggers around to do your labor. We get it. We hope that civil conversation and an exchange of history and perspective will prevail. Nigga, Google exists. Fucking use it. Ugh. So we hope that perspective will prevail so we can all gain greater understanding from this event. Okay, again, she said, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not apologizing. What understanding are we coming to? Please know that we do not support... I said that already. We believe strongly in the First Amendment. Uh-huh. So they support... I just want to know how often they post things supporting the NFL players who are kneeling. No? No? You don't think they did? I don't think they did either. So we believe strongly in the First Amendment. Expressing your beliefs is one of the things that makes this country great. Apparently so is blackface. Screaming and vulgarity do not add to a productive conversation nor encourage change. Obviously neither does civil conversation because she said, I'm not changing. I'm racist and I likes it. I'm like Paula Deen. That's who the fuck she should have been. Paula Deen bake shit, right? So you still could have been racist for Halloween. See how easy it was? All you had to do was be fucking Paula Deen. I'm trying to help you out, white lady. We had to call the police and request their intervention when this began in our shop. It was our attempt not to silence frustration, but prevent escalation. Right, because you know how you... prevent escalation is you have an employee wearing blackface and say that we didn't understand the historical implications of blackface, and then you have a bunch of angry protesters outside, and then you bring in guys with guns and riot shields. That is definitely, positively, absolutely 100% how I would de-escalate a situation. I would bring in the guys with guns and tasers and batons. They definitely seem like they're trained in de-escalation shit. We have come a long way as a country, but this event proves we still have hard work to do and difficult conversations to be had. But your employee said, I'm not talking to Betty about it. I'm not changing. So where the fuck is this change? We hope people can use the situation to encourage dialogue and communication. Because last year, Freddie Gray last year, because y'all didn't learn about blackface then. Because before that, when it was Ray Rice, y'all didn't fucking learn about blackface then. Because before that, when it was Trayvon, y'all didn't learn about blackface then. Because when it was Mike Brown, you didn't learn about blackface then. When it was Obama, you didn't learn about blackface then. Because when it was Rodney King in the fucking 90s, you didn't fucking learn then. Exactly how many more years of blackface happening and people getting called out for it being racist do we need to have before y'all be like, you know what? Maybe these Negroes are onto something and we shouldn't fucking do blackface anymore because it's kind of fucking racist bullshit. We've had the conversation. We've been having this conversation for 100 years. We've been having this conversation. We've been telling you. You've just been choosing not to listen. And now y'all want to be... We didn't know. I mean, how could we know that the thing that we actively chose to ignore for a century was actually a problem? Y'all not fucking slick. We have temporarily shut down all page posts and reviews, not to silence anyone, but to stop pure vitriol that in no way furthers positive change. Like your employee who said, I refuse to apologize for wearing blackface. We're sorry for our lack of cultural perspective and offer our sincere apology. And then, of course, I shared this to Reading in the Shade, and someone is angry. Where did she go? And ironically, her name is Abby Lewis. Yes, I know. I know. Her name is Abby. Abby says, BS, quit being offended by shit. My granddaughter was called a white trash cracker at work by an ignorant woman, and then she was chastised by her boss because the woman was unhappy. Because this shouldn't offend her. She's only 17. Okay. So apparently, slavery, misconceptions about black culture, stereotypes that are still in play today that are used to justify police brutality, that are still used to justify white saviors in Africa, are exactly the same thing as a 17-year-old getting called white trash once. Because you know. So I'm amused. Yeah, this is just white tears to me. It's really white people. But why can't you? But why can't we? Why can't we say nigger? Why can't we wear a blackface? We just want to do it. As usual, you know. And that's just like very, I think very, very like typical of white folks in general, right? They want to do like this ridiculous ass shit and then be like, how dare you call us on our thing? So, yeah, this is a story about racism, but it's also a story about white tears. Delicious, delicious white tears of, but I don't see color, but I somehow knew that I had to black up my face to play this character who is a baker, who is not actually a baker because you do not actually bake pancakes. And I guess apparently, I don't know what, fucking Sarah Lee was taken, fucking Betty Crocker was taken. I still stand by the fact that she should have just been fucking Paula Deen. She still could have been racist and a baker, you know, and opted not to, so. Yeah, but remember, it's not about race. She didn't mean to offend you, therefore it's not racial, even though blackface is actually quite fucking racial. And the irony is that, you know, hopefully y'all can hear the instrumentals that are playing underneath it. Vanilla Ice just came on. Yeah. Yeah. That's an excellent way to close out the fucking program. All right, so thank you for checking us out today. This was a White on White Crime episode. It's the fun day of the week. It's the silly stories of the week. It's the just kind of chill out, you know, of the week.
You are listening to White on White Crime in the Wine Cellar.
If you would like to support us, please feel free to do so. You can support us for a minimum of $5 a month on patreon.com/winecellarmediafund. You can also hit us up at paypal.me/phoenixandwilliam if you would like to give us a one-time donation. And of course, you know, this is the money we use to keep things going, to host the website, winecellarmedia.com. You know, for the work that we do, for the equipment that we use, things like that. And this is, it's labor to put together a podcast. It really is. Even though it's something we enjoy doing, it's still labor intensive to a certain degree. And of course, you can follow us on Facebook. I have Reading in the Shade. You can also follow us on Social Dissonance, A Critical Analysis of Justice. We have a White on White Crime page and a Becky Lives Matter page as well. And then, Twitter, at Uppity Negress, 2 P's, 2 T's, 2 S's, or just check us out on the website, winecellarmedia.com, and don't forget to download us and leave a nice rating in your favorite podcast app. I am Phoenix Kalita. I am signing out. Thank you for hanging out with me in the Wine Cellar. Have a wonderful night. Stay safe wherever you are. Live your life. Enjoy yourself. And, yeah.
Father Teresa's Wine Cellar is rated R for keeping it real.
See y'all later, fam.